Yo, BJ Gador with the BJ Gador podcast. And with me again, we got a return guest, is Eric Rokiski. I'm saying it correctly. All right, man. This guy, let me tell you something about this guy. I'm really excited to have him back on because if you haven't listened to our first episode together, it's episode 192, Slant Boards 101, probably the hottest new training equipment in the whole market the last several years. I think pretty much since the pandemic and kind of the knees over toes movement, so to speak, are slant boards. And he has a special brand called Squat Wedgies. I have to say, look, my days at Men's Health, man, I would get sent almost every day to get new equipment, new gear, stuff to try out. And no one's been more balls deep in the home fitness space than me. I work out from home. I have people all over the world doing my workouts from home. And I just have to tell you, man, like, this is a training tool that, like, it's now indispensably part of my arsenal. It's unlocked for me a lot of restrictions and movement, and it's given me ways in which to train around particular areas and heal joints and get more muscle activation. We're going to talk about all this today. So I just have to let you know, man, you're doing fantastic work in this space. And I have gotten nothing but positive feedback from our members that have bought this and have used it in their home workouts. And you can travel with it, do it in a hotel, take it to the gym with you. And you're innovating. Like, the 2.0s are even like way better than the 1.0s, and the 1.0s were good. So Eric, welcome to the show. And I just wanted to give you some props, man, because like I've tried all the, before we got connected late last year, I went on Amazon. I tried the slant board guy stuff. I tried all these different things and I didn't like what I was seeing. And then I got your stuff in my hands and it's all I use. And so I just wanted to make sure you know, you're doing amazing work. I can only imagine how hard this is, making the equipment, innovating. Right now you're in your little warehouse space. You know, people don't know what it's like as a startup. So we're going to talk about a little more of the entrepreneurial startup side and just what it takes to make equipment and the marketing involved and the lead time and stuff like that. New moves that have been unlocked, like the plyometric stuff with your larger slant board unit, your tib bar, your complete product line. So this would be a great episode, probably about an hour here. Eric, welcome to the show. And you just came from the big idea event here in the summer.
Yeah, thanks for having me, BJ. Been looking forward to this. We just got done with the Idea World Convention this past Friday, Saturday, which I believe was, I think, like July 12th, July 13th. We were just there and it was a lot of fun. We took part in the Mega Circuit, which is a bunch of different exercise products like the Y-Bell, FitBench, TRX, 15 stations. And we had our own little station there. We had about 14 slant boards set up. I had my own little group of about 6 to 10 people, 5 minutes straight. People came up, put them through some squats, did some split squats with them, took them through some of the speed skater plyometrics going side to side, a little jumping around on it. I did that for about 2 hours and we got some great feedback. People loved the product. So it was really cool to see that, testing out the new product, testing the plyometrics, see how the general population reacts to it. And everybody really enjoyed it. So it was a great turnout.
Any competitors there you go head to head with?
So at all of these expos, there's always maybe like one or two, like what's his, like Shogun Sports. Have you heard of that? I think that's Mr. Infinity's brand is there. It's been pretty interesting to see these other companies over the last like 2 years, how a lot of them have really grown their product line. Just like they started out with slant boards and tib bars, and now all of a sudden they're just blowing up into like foam rollers, ice baths, and all these other products. So for me, I kind of like seeing that because I just want to be hyper-focused on like slant boards and tib bars. I just want to make the best products possible when it comes to slant boards. Like, how can we make the material better? How can we keep it lightweight? How can we make it affordable for people? So I don't want to get distracted by other things. So I was actually kind of happy to see that.
You know what, man? Actually, that tends to be for me when you're early in the development of a product or a business and you start to diversify so quickly, that's a sign to me that things aren't going as well as they would like, you know, and I've made that mistake too in the past. Like, you know, when we started our apparel line, we wanted to, we probably should have just focused on, and we started with our short shorts that I was kind of known for. But we immediately went to kind of making a full product line, and it's been great. But at the same time too, it makes sense earlier in a business cycle just to really have a couple bestseller popular items fully develop, learn, so it's long enough out there on the market so you can actually get some feedback and some analytics on it. So I know that, you know, that to me, usually equipment companies that are struggling, they start to do a lot of white labeling, private labeling of other type of stuff. So not that I'm hoping they're struggling, but again, like, I'm all about working with the best. And a lot of the other slant boards I've used, first of all, a lot of them were wooden and required the use of shoes to use them at all because they had specialized gripping on it that you couldn't have your bare feet on. That I don't like. They were way too inclined. They were like 30 plus degrees, very heavy. So there was a lack of portability involved with it. And, you know, in my mind, what you've looked at in terms of providing both the stability while on the ground, so it's anti-slip, more traction for the feet and hands that are actually on the unit, those new ridges you have, which I've got, you know, right here if you're watching the video side of this. Got these right for the hands and feet to actually grip in. So again, the barefoot style stuff, or even like a barefoot style sock, is in my opinion, the best way to use it, unless you use like a minimalist, like Vivo barefoot shoe. You also have the rubber grippers so that you can have this on a floor and be more explosive or dynamic with the movements without as much movement. And you have this now with the same thing with the larger unit, which honestly, man, like you sent me this one and I immediately bought another one because I was doing a combination of stuff with the hands on it, the feet on it. I love I've been doing a ton of split squatting with front foot on one heel elevated and the back foot toe elevated.
A little deficit. The deficit.
And now
nice.
The plyometric asset, because it's a bigger unit, which means you can, you know, again, and we'll talk about like why you'd want to get the bigger unit versus the smaller units that can be moved around and individually spaced as needed for grip and stance. But these have the best angle. They are super durable. They stay in place. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, like, this is the best. This is the best. And it's not just because we're working together on some stuff. I wanted to work with you on this because I have an eye for talent, and I just know when a piece of equipment stands above the rest. So major props, man. And, you know, people don't also realize too. I mean, are you finding that, like, I guess you're doing the daily social media, but how much do those fitness events seem to help the brand and the product? Is it more of just like you're just playing the numbers game, or do you actually notice when you go there a big surge?
I feel it's just great when we go to these events. Like, we do the fitness expos as well. Like, it's the company, the Fit Expo in Los Angeles. And we're going to the one in Anaheim, August 5th. And I think it's August 5th and 6th, or the 6th and the 7th. We'll be there teaching another group fitness class, which is great. For me, I love teaching like that. I get in front of the people. That's always been a dream of mine, is to find a way to turn this product into a group fitness class so I can leverage my 11 years as a personal trainer and make it more than just about slant boards, but also be like, hey, I know how to train somebody. The slant boards are the gateway to get you into my training philosophy, and we're going to use this in my training approach. And then for a group fitness model, it's just a lot of fun. So when we go to these events and people are always like, oh, is the founder here? And I can tell them like, hey, like, I'm actually the founder. This is my company. It's, you kind of see their eyes light up a little bit, which is cool because they're actually interacting with the person who's making it. And I feel a lot of companies these days, they're never really talking to the founder. They're just talking to hired people there. So I love to see the client's feedback. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this product? What do you like about this? What don't you like? Because, you know, I'm doing my best to try to make the best product possible, but you only know what you know. And getting that feedback from customers allows us to continually innovate. And that's the goal of this, is how can we continually make the products better and better and better? So being in person at these events is a great way to learn about the product, get the brand name out there. And it's not really all about sales. You know, you're never, these expos are expensive. For example, like, most of these expos are, for a small 10 by 10 booth, is like $3,000 to $3,500. just to present there. So you're not really going to make your money back, but you're going to make some meet some great people in the field as well. So this past expo, like we were talking about earlier, meeting David Jack, who I kind of grew up looking at in men's health, learning how to teach certain classes and seeing him live there was really cool. And having him test the product and getting feedback from him, and then meeting some of Todd Durkin's people and talking to his team there. And we actually did a little review of our booth that's going to go out to like 200 coaches. And then Tony Horton was there. So it was really cool to meet Tony Horton, you know, one of my idols. I grew up doing P90X, and a lot of my group fitness training styles was kind of watching him and seeing him there, being able to give him our product as well. But, hey, I just want to say thank you so much for being a leader in this space. Here's our product. You know, let me know what you think about this. So the ability to meet these types of people and then to directly talk to consumers, it's a win-win. That's why I continue to do them. But I will say, I mean, we did three this year. It's a lot of, we went to Vegas and then we went to LA, two of them in LA. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of, I mean, the day before I was, there's this like rule they have where you cannot bring dollies in and you have to hand carry a lot of things or you have to hire them. And as a small business, I try to save as much money as possible. So I was literally pushing like seven boxes on the carpet doing like a sled push because I was like, I'm not carrying this one box at a time. So it helps me in good shape too when you're doing these expos because it's a workout setting up the booth.
By the way, once you turn 40, that all changes. I was the same way with like my wife used to ask me like, why didn't you just get a cart? Why are you carrying your groceries in your hands? And then I turned 40. I'm like, no, I use the cart now. I'm just constantly saving my energy. But you mentioned Tony Horton too. He's I think I saw recently he just turned 65, still in great shape. I mean, obviously, huge networking opportunities. You also get to get a lot of photo, video for ongoing marketing, and obviously some great hands-on user feedback. What are some of what are the top things people are saying when they use the gear, they use the equipment that are coming time and time again?
A lot of people, when they feel our 15-degree slant boards, our dual slant boards ones, the individual units, they're always shocked to kind of lift them up and feel how dense they are. Because we had a lady who bought some foam products in the past, and then she used ours, and she was just saying how it's just night and day difference. And the reason that is because we built our high-density foam out of a mold. So we spent extra money first to build a mold, and then we built a product after that. So that's why they're as dense as they are, and that's why they can hold up to 1,000 pounds. So we always try to spend a little bit more money on the product and try, because I think a lot of companies, when it comes to those foam wedges, they were building them specifically for yoga and they were keeping them like as soft as possible. But me knowing like when it comes to squatting, you do want a surface that has a dense material there that you can push off of. And I feel like that was a great difference for them. People feeling the product, using it, people testing out our tib bar. A lot of, you know, I think in the knees over toes world, people think it's everyone knows about it. Like everyone knows about tib bars and everybody knows about slant boards. There's still so many people out there who have no idea what these products are. I mean, it was funny. We had people like walking by our booth and I would just say like, hey, do you want a wedgie? Like, do you want a wedgie? And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, you know, slant boards, heels elevated squats. And then, cause we were doing a little bit of a challenge. We were doing like 10 tib raises, 10 calf raises, 10 split squats, and then 10 Zercher squats, which is when you're holding it in your elbows, when you're doing your squat pattern, just to show people the versatility. And then during the mega circuit, we were doing the plyometrics, and I had people come by on Saturday, the day after the mega circuit, and they were telling me how, like, oh, I never thought about using those for plyometrics. And if you start to look in the athlete space now with basketball players, a lot more strength and conditioning coaches are starting to use slant boards for plyometrics, because of the foot angles, the ability to jump laterally and get that good push off mimics those cutting in basketball and football. So I think that is going to continue to become more and more popular in the space. And for like your general population people, it's a lot of fun. It's less impact on their joints when they are jumping on an elevated surface like that. And we just can't forget about novelty. You know, novelty is one of those things where you don't want too much of it because then you're kind of just throwing anything at the wall, but a little bit goes a long way in keeping the workouts fresh, mixing it up, and getting your clients coming back for more.
You know, I got started in kind of, a couple things. I would say like these slant boards in general, they're kind of like, and I'm aging myself here, but like the way the kettlebell was, let's say 2005, 2006, where like Pavel was the man with the Russian kettlebell, RKC, and all the trainers got involved. Trainers are the early adopters, right? And now you fast forward a decade plus later, and the kettlebell's in every gym in every city, state, country in the world. Now it's a staple of gym tools. And, you know, slant boards have been around forever in physical therapy settings. They weren't invented by any new popular trainer over the last couple of years. It's been just like the sled, been around forever. All right. If you ever played football, okay, the 7-man sled was like around since the 60s, the 70s, but now it's becoming more mainstream. So this is a new category that will be here, and it's not going anywhere because of the endless applications, not just for a high-end performance athletes, not just for aesthetics or bodybuilding, not just for body weight training, not just the applications with rehab or even the elderly, but home travel gym. And it really is. It's definitely, that's why I've made it just a component of what we do, because it just allows us to get enhanced training effects, get in better positions, give people more accessibility to movements that typically confound or they struggle with. The other side of it is just what goes into making a single product. Like, for example, the tank top I'm wearing, we call it the wife lover or the husband lover tank top. And we went through 10 different prototypes just to get the fit right. And the fit would change based on the fabric we were using. All right. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. We almost quit on it. And then we finally got it right in the 10th version of that prototype. And it's like a tank top. No, you don't. How could it take this long, right? But we nailed it finally, and it became a bestseller for us. And this is our third version, and we keep trying to improve. And I mentioned that because, like, give us an idea of just what, like, for example, your latest innovations that I have are the 20 degree large unit and the 15 degree portable units. Take us through just the lead time, or like what's involved in getting these to market.
So we started the 15-degree portable slant boards last November, like November 15th of 2022 was when we started making the mold for them. And that's a month process just by itself, just making the mold. So then you're kind of just waiting to get a sample. And then you get your sample, and then you have to test the product and everything, make sure it fits all those metrics. Because when it comes to slant boarding, there's a lot of things people don't think about. It's, you know, a lot of slant boards out there are really just squat wedges. They're really, especially the rubber ones, they're about they're like 4.5 inches wide only. So they're really small. Even not to like say his products not as good as mine, like even Ben Patrick's, the ATG buddies, like they're made out of rubber, and anytime you use a material like that, they're going to get heavy. So like for even his, they're only maybe like 4.8 inches wide or something like that. So the width is something that a lot of people forget about, but that's why we made ours 6 inches wide, so you had enough space when you're walking backwards, and that's so you can do it toes elevated as well, because you know the heel is so much more narrow than your foot. Than your toes, than the forefoot, right? So a lot of people just think, oh, you only need like a narrow space just for your heel to walk up of. And with rubber, it's heavy. So you try to save weight, and you try to save money by keeping them much more narrow. But with like the high density foam, right, it allows us to make it much wider and much longer while still keeping it lightweight and keeping it affordable. And that's a lot of products out there don't offer that. But those are all the things you're thinking about when you're creating a product, when you are receiving your sample and then looking at it and then bringing it to your clients and saying like, hey, how does this feel when you walk backwards if you have a barbell on your back? Do you feel confident still that you can walk up these and not miss them? How does it feel when you're doing single leg hip thrusts on this? How does this 15 degree angle feel? And one thing we noticed was when people would test a 30-degree slant board or even like a 25 degree slant board, a lot of people just said they felt like they were falling forward too much. And that's why we kind of just stopped our slant boards at 20 degrees, because it's one of those things where I feel up to 20 degrees, it's shifting your center of mass backwards, because it's not that steep of a slope, but it's just enough to shift your center of mass backwards so you can stay upright in your squat. Whereas what you kind of said in the beginning, when you get up to like that 30 degrees, it kind of really shoves you forward. And a lot of people don't like that feeling. That was something we kind of noticed at IDEA too. Some people were saying how anything steeper than this would be too much. So getting like taking all those things into account and then testing it. For me, I'm lucky because I still personally train people. So I have about 15 clients in person. And I can test every single product on everybody and get feedback from that. And with our, you know, with our newest 20 degree slant board, we saw people really liked it. And the 20 degree slant board, that's been around for like, I think a year. Like I had a sample of that like last year, but I just didn't pull the trigger on it just because of one, with just having enough capital ready. So we had an issue in November, like I was talking about earlier, when we built that first mold, there was an issue with the mold. So we couldn't create it how I wanted it. So we had to start over again. And that pushed us into this, into late December. And then my factory, which is in China, they had COVID. So we lost days there. And then we went right into Chinese New Year, which they're off for a whole month. So we weren't able to really start getting the product produced until mid-January was when they started again. And then it takes about 30 days to make it, 30 to 40 days to make it. And then it takes about anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes 7 weeks to get here. Bear in mind that for almost all products sourced for a lot of small companies like myself, when you're only about like a year and a half, 2 years in, you're paying for all your products up front as well. So you are paying for all inventory before it even leaves China to get here. So it's kind of just a little bit of the behind the scenes. And then on top of it, you have to, once it gets here, you are then going to do quality control to make sure like every product is up to your standards and everything. So there's a lot of things that have to go right. The best part is too, is it's like, I'm in my spare bedroom right now where I live in my apartment complex. So this is kind of like our storage unit as well. So when I get products dropped off, I get it dropped off at my apartment's like sidewalk, and there'll be like 5 pallets there. And I just have my dolly and I'm just going back and forth. So there's like a lot of things that go into this that people kind of don't realize.
You know, I mean, look, right behind me is our garage. First of all, this is where we film. This is where I train. Behind me is the garage, which hosts our entire fashion line. It's our storage. Again, like right here is the office that I do some work in, podcast. So again, like, but you want to be lean. Again, that's a big mistake with startups, is you want to try to scale up. You want to look bigger than you are, and ego will really get you beat fast. Especially when you actually have overhead. You know, there's one thing, just if it's a digital thing, and even digital now requires overhead. There's costs of streaming, there's costs to edit content and stuff like that. But you're lucky you're still personal trained, because you'd be going fucking crazy waiting. If you're not like that, the real key early on, initially you're like, okay, I got to get rid of this. And I made this mistake. When we started the first ever streaming workout site called StreamFit back in 2011. And in retrospect, I did make the mistake. I sold my gym, and my mindset was, okay, let me unload this so I can give this 100% focus, because I had other people's money invested in it. But what happened was I didn't realize how much waiting time there was going to be. So a lot of times you're just waiting and your thumb's up your ass and you can't do anything. And with that, that's when your lack of patience can like destroy you. I should have stayed in the gym, and that would have kept me busy and distracted from stuff I couldn't control. So just some feedback or just lessons I can pass along to you. Stay as busy as you can until you're set. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, right now, personal training has been extremely therapeutic for me. A lot of my clients I've had for 3 to 4 years, But I still get every now and then, I still get a new client. I actually just got a new client today, and she's going to start at like 5:30 on Friday morning, tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. So it's just nice to kind of, you know, I wake up like an hour and a half earlier, hour earlier before I actually train some people, and I'll do like my squat wedgie stuff. And then I can kind of step away from it for a little bit and go train people and kind of let like the subconscious marinate things that I'm working on. Train people, talk about things, vent a little bit if we're having delays in shipping. Like we just had a 2-week delay getting our tib bars to an Amazon warehouse for Amazon Prime Day. And we did great. We sold like 88 units on Amazon Prime Day, which is awesome. But we sold out and we could have sold a lot more. But we just, the shipping was delayed. So just little things like that and allowing me to vent a little bit to my clients and hearing them, like, because a lot of them are executives and they run businesses, and to hear them kind of give me some advice on it and feedback, and just to be like one of my clients, he's in supply chain stuff and logistics. And he's always telling me, he's like, something's always going to go wrong. He's like, you really always have to plan for at least like 3 months minimum for shipping because something's always going to go wrong. So just to be able to kind of talk it out to people, whereas if I wasn't training, definitely I would probably, you know, be going a little crazy. I'd probably be on Instagram nonstop though. Definitely, that would be a difference. If I wasn't training, I would probably just be messaging like every single person on Instagram. And the one thing I've learned though too is you don't want to grow too fast because, you know, you could – if you're trying to grow too fast, you might order maybe 10,000 units of your first model, and there might be something wrong with it that you didn't even realize, and now you have 10,000 units. So by starting small and growing slowly, you can really start to learn. Because every time you make a iteration to it, it's going to get better. You know, I mean, just look at the iPhone, right? Like the iPhone 14 is better than the first iPhone, right? So by not growing too fast, and this is where I think a lot of companies shoot themselves in the foot, they do try to grow so fast right away and they try to place this huge order out the gate when you really want to go slow and steady, get feedback on the product, learn what your consumers are saying, learn why some people like it, because people are always going to not like your product, and just see what are they saying, you know, listen to that, listen to comments on Instagram, see what people are complaining about it. And then when you release a new model, you know, make the improvements that you see fit. So I think that's been extremely helpful. And on top of it, for me right now, being a small business, all of my training finances go straight into squat wedgies. So everything I earn from this company is going right back into the company. And it's definitely, I've told my girlfriend a lot, I'm like, if I didn't have personal training as my backer right now, I would be just wrong. Like I would have so much anxiety just thinking like, oh my God, I have to sell X amount of units this month or I'm not going to make rent. You know, by having a steady income from training, it's allowed me to make smarter decisions and not try to do like 50% off this week only, you know, being slow and steady, trusting the process and kind of trusting the brand.
There's a couple things to unpack there. One thing is when you hear this, like if you watch, you know, these sensationalized bullshits like on Shark Tank, right? Where I'm looking for someone who's all in, you know, they can't be dabbling in other things. And the reality is it's so important to have other things in the mix, not just for your own personal safety, longevity, et cetera. And just the volatility of the economy and just everything right now. But you still need, just watch the Arnold documentary. And one of his big things, his mantra is basically stay busy, be useful. And when you have bad days or bad situations in one aspect, you can still go out there and give your clients your best and learn and innovate and improve. And it gives you self-worth on a day when that's all you're focusing on is what happened bad. And then, like you said, you have to wait. So you're just going to wait 3 months and bang your head against the wall. So I'm not an advocate of jumping ship like that, especially early on, because the first 3 to 5 years of any new business that's looking to make it for the long haul, you are constantly reinvesting. There's no goal of profit. You've got to make your own money outside of the business. So that's one key. The other piece, just in terms of incline, 30 degrees is where I found it to be. Like, honestly, I think 20 degrees is ideal. Anything after that, I just think you're going to put way too much stress on the knees. And what's interesting about like the 15 to 20 degree angle, I actually have found, I know the goal of it initially is, okay, this is going to help bypass ankle mobility problems, right? But what I've noticed is because of that proper amount of incline, you get a gravitational assist that now you're actually exposing the ankle joint to more bend. And so I've noticed when I go feet flat on the floor now, beyond all the ankle mobility work I can do on this, which we can talk about, it's actually improving my ankle mobility. At 30 degrees though, it's just too much. The final thing I want to say to that, what you just said, if I still had a gym and we used to do the boot camps, like I was one of the first boot camp trainers in 2008 when the recession hit and everyone went away from personal training, and we'd set up stations, I would immediately get, and we have people listening that run group exercise, I would get 10 of these so that I could have a station of five people that could use two at any time. And this would allow me to get people for both their upper and lower body in optimal positions, better training effects. And again, it would differentiate me from all the other motherfuckers out there in the space. So that just, I have a lot of people that have stuck with me since those boot camp days. If you don't get one of these for your gym and or your boot camp group workouts, to me, it's just foolish because again, this is like $40 to $50. All right. Like every month I had about $500 in the fund to just keep adding to the gym because you have to keep adding new toys to keep people coming and excited about training. Also for your own workouts, man, like this has really unlocked some new innovation for me in my own workouts, which then what do? We bring it to the people.
We just had a gym actually in New Jersey that just ordered 30 of them for their group fitness
very smart
classes, which I'm stoked about. And also too, it's just, you know, if you're doing group fitness, you don't have time to individually coach people. So it's just super easy if people are doing squats. And also too, like the other thing is with group fitness models, boot camps, a lot of the time you're not using as heavy of weights. So the ability to shift tension from the lower back into the legs by keeping more of an upright torso, by having more depth in the squat and narrow stance, is going to really isolate those quadriceps way more than you would by just doing a traditional front squat, because most likely people doing traditional front squats, you're either not getting the same amount of range of motion or they're taking a super, super wide stance. So by being able to squat with hip distance or shoulder width stance with the whole foot elevated at like a 15 or 20 degrees, you can really get a lot more bang for your buck. And the other cool thing we do too is, you know, when we work with group fitness studios and stuff, when they do bulk purchases, we do give them discounts on top of it. So we really try to make it affordable for these people, because at the end of the day, I just want more people experiencing our product and getting more people moving and getting them training their lower body. We know when it comes to longevity, when it comes to back pain, having strong legs, having strong quads. A lot of people think the glutes are the biggest muscle in the body, but when you look at the quads as a unit, all four of those muscles together are much bigger than the glutes. So the quadriceps are a huge muscle for people to train, to strengthen. It's going to help you live longer. It's going to help you burn more body fat because now you have stronger legs, you can go on more walks, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a huge missing component right now in a lot of these group fitness classes. I mean, there's people out there like elevating their heels on plates, and I think we kind of talked about this in the last podcast, but I do think it's worth mentioning again. When you're elevating your heels on plates, one, it's at a much smaller angle, so maybe it's at like, you know, 5 degrees max, and also it shifts your weight onto your toes, because most people aren't going to be having your heels on their plates and then sitting back into those plates. They're going to sit down into the ground. But when you elevate the whole foot, at least for your brain too, it's like, we're just bringing the ground up to you and we're not changing anything. Your toes are staying neutral. Your toes aren't going into that push-off mode, which that happens when you do use like a 25 degree or a 30 degree. A lot of people use like their 25 to 30 degree slam boards and they'll just walk down them. But all they're doing is they're literally looking like they're in high heels. So to the brain, they're thinking like, hey, we're actually in push-off phase. We actually feel like we're actually pushing off to go forward, right? So by just bringing the ground up and elevating the whole foot, that's what really helps you sit back into the movement where you can actually distribute your weight evenly from the heel, midfoot, into the toes instead of all the weight being on the toes. And then the other thing too is, like you mentioned with the ankle mobility, when you perform heel elevated squats, you're actually targeting the calf muscle a little bit more too. And for some people, ankle mobility could just be due to like weak calves as well. Like if your calves aren't strong, you're going to have some tight ankles, right? So there's a lot of stuff that goes into ankle mobility that is more than just, you know, stretch your ankle. You can get a lot of bang for your buck. I think that's why the split squat works so well for people, because they're taking their shin bone and physically moving it back and forth, and just getting that motion of the shin bone going back and forth can really restore and kind of unlock some tight ankles.
I saw that in one of the newsletters you shared recently about just that simple concept. And I didn't even think about it that way. It was really well put about elevating your heels on plates, pushing you forward versus using the squat wedgies, slant boards that you have. It actually lets you sit back. It's a totally different approach. And, you know, outside of that, you look at all the equipment that's done well historically in fitness, like that becomes a true brand that isn't just something that is a monolith that has so much money and resources behind it. They build it and they sustain it through education. I think TRX is one of those like perfect models. Like gymnastics rings, nothing new there. They obviously made their own unique twist mm-hmm. on their suspension trainer, but really where TRX exploded was through their certification process. And you're early, but you already are going through the route of really educating and showing people not only, you know, why we're doing this and why this is different than this, and the multitude of applications. And because people can knock this shit off instantly. They're doing it, right? But
yeah, people are doing it.
They go with the person who really knows their shit and who is constantly looking to make it better and innovate. So that's part of why also, again, I just identify you as the person in this space that is really trying to go that route.
Well, that's like in our newsletter today, I was actually talking about, you know, why you should hip thrust with a wedgie, like why you should do a toes elevated hip thrust. And it's a really simple answer. It's, you know, look at every single hip thrust machine, like the glute drive by Nautilus, the booty builder. Every single hip thrust machine has a slanted platform to give you better push off. Because when you're doing a hip thrust, it just makes it so much easier to fit, to push off of it. Because to get that drive from the glute when the toes are elevated, and it's like if a company is trying to make the best glute building machine possible, there's a reason they put the platform on an angle and not flat. So I'm going to follow what they're doing and mimic it and test it on my clients. And every time a client does it like that, hamstrings and glutes are firing way more. On top of it, I mean, you're getting increased range of motion as well because you're on a platform as well. But you're also just limiting the knee is going over the toe as much now because you're doing the opposite, right? Like with the heels elevated, if that's going to allow the knee to go further over the toe, then the opposite of that would essentially pull the knee backwards more, right? And that's kind of when we're looking at a hip thrust, that's kind of what you're looking for, because if the knee goes too far over the toe on a hip thrust, you get more quadriceps involved because the knee's bending more. We want more hamstrings and glutes. We want less knee bend.
And you know what?
And that's why that works really well.
I love that point because it's – so we know what are the variables in fitness, right? There's load / intensity, you know, volume or set reps or, you know, high reps, low reps, range of motion, tempo, you know, but like an often overlooked variable just because it isn't as practical without a tool like this is training angle. A training angle completely changes the stimulus. And in a lot of cases, you know, people always say the reason people have knee pain, it's because they have weak and or tight quads or tight ankles. Yes, they play a role. But ultimately, if you've got any sort of, I guess, knee pain and knee pain specifically or just lower body injuries in general, you've got weak toes and feet. And the moment that you use a slant board versus the floor, you just get so much more toe and arc engagement. You know what I'm saying? Like doing split squats on them in particular, the push off you can get on the back toe. In a traditional split squat feet on floor, that's just straight vertical load. You can't get that. So I'm finding that not only is it's completely mobilized my forefoot, and I'm realizing now at this tender age of almost 41 most of my knee issues were because of the fact that I grew up with the high top basketball shoes, and I just had very weak, mobile, stiff, collapsed feet and arcs. And this gives me an instant awareness of the feet. And again, the unique angles you can get, like the blast off pushup, for example, which some people call the Tyson pushup because Mike Tyson used to do it in training. It's essentially a squat into your pushup. And I've shared these for years, but having a, and I still like to put it up against the wall just because I like to really push off. Because again, there's only so much you can do if you're going real explosive and you're a big, strong person to prevent that movement. But I'll elevate the back toes, and then I'll also elevate my my fingers on for my hands. And I'm getting push off both ways, man. Like, so now I've got true horizontal pushing in both ways. So it's like it's taken one of my favorite full body push up movements, and it's never been more effective. And you know, initially people will say, well, like, oh, just, you know, the mouth breathers will say, just do it feet on the floor. This is stupid. No, you don't understand. Like, this is an angle I can't replicate without the tool. So now the tool is making this 20% more effective. And it's also making my hands and feet more involved in the exercise. So, you know, again, I time and time again, when we hear, oh, it's your quads, it's your hips, it's your ankles. No, if your feet are not properly interacting with your base of support, you're not going to have optimal performance, and you are going to be prone to injuries, flat out.
Yeah, I think there's just, you know, there's a big difference, I think, a lot of times too with when, like, for example, when you're doing calf raises, you'll see a lot of people who will just like be doing calf raises off plates or off like off the sidewalk or something. And then people will say, if I do like calf raise on a slant board, it's like, all right, well, why don't you just like do them off the edge of something, right? But the difference is when you're doing, hold one second. I do have my foot here. I wasn't sure.
Look at this.
Got it. Always got to have a foot somehow.
I believe it.
Be able to demo it. It's important. So the cool thing is, like, when you're doing your calf raises off of a slant board, you're just, like we always talk about, you're just bringing the ground up to you, right? So it's just a natural movement that we're getting through the toes and everything. The toes are just going to extend. Whereas if you're doing it the other way, if this is the edge, right? Let me fix my toes real quick. If you're on a sidewalk or something, or just on a stack of plates, you're, in order for your body to balance, your toes are naturally going to grip, and you're going to start getting those hammerhead toes. And that's kind of what's happening. And I learned this from David Gray Rehab on Instagram. He's phenomenal what he teaches. And he has like an Achilles program, and he uses our slant boards for. And that's one of the things he mentions, where when you're on the slant board here and you're finding off, your body's is essentially going to grip because, one, your heel's floating in space like this, which tells the brain grip to hold on, because your feet can be like claws, right? Whereas when you're here, we just naturally stretch the calf because you're going uphill on a ramp. Your heel's going to touch every time. Your toes can actually relax and spread out and lengthen. And then you still get the same training effect in the calf, but now you're not dealing with hammerhead toes. So it's like about those little nuances that a lot of people don't recognize, but why you get such better results when you're just bringing the ground up to your foot instead of trying to have your foot hanging in space. Because there's a difference between being like an open chain ankle and a closed chain ankle. Like, everything changes when the foot's floating around in space versus like being on stable surface for the brain.
You know, another way to look at it too is, you know, you look at a hill, right? What is the hill allowing you to do? It's allowing you to get a different interaction with gravity. And again, these are little hills, and we can use these hills to elevate the fingers or the toes or the heel of the foot and the hand to provide a completely different stimulus. And particularly when you're talking about just the ankle, like, the benefit of when you're on a stable slant board is, even when you are, let's say you do 20 reps and you're burnt out, even just pausing at the bottom, you're under stretch. And intraset stretching is not only one of the best ways, because you're trapping blood, you're also extending the stretch. You're actually mobilizing the joint while you're resting the muscle in a way. And it can become one of the best ways to simultaneously build muscle and improve your mobility through the whole foot. not just like you said, the toes. And usually when you are directing so much force towards just one aspect, right, you're not getting you're not getting the midfoot benefits. You get that, that's where a lot of the magic with the foot happens. A lot of people are very 4 foot dominant. And then as a result of that, what do we do? We said, okay, now we got to do everything on the heel and we got to keep vertical shins. That was the movement in the aughts to the 2000s up until so then we went away. We didn't move at all through the ankle or the knee, and we just drove everything through the hip, you know, and ultimately it's good to shift from toe to heel, but there has to be a midfoot emphasis. And because otherwise we can't create an arc.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you just said about how everybody was like shifting to the hips with like their barbell back squats and training the glutes and everything. The best way to look about squatting, I would say, is you have like your squatty squats over here where you're squatting down, your knees are going over your toes and your torso staying really upright. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we have like our deadlift squats, which are really hingy, where people have a barbell on their back. They're pulling their butt back really far to do it, and their shins are staying kind of vertical, like power lifters and stuff. And those are the two ends of the spectrum. If you are just a general population, or you are just someone who's a runner and stuff like that, if you are not a power lifter, if you are not training for your hingy squats because you want maximal load for your sport, you really need to be doing both. Like, you have to be able to squat with a perfectly upright torso, and you should be able to squat more of a hinge pattern where you're putting your hips backwards. The easiest way to do that is you do squats without a slant board. You're probably going to hinge your squats no matter what, because most people don't have the mobility to be able to stay perfectly upright. And then you just add a slant board to it, and then that's going to give you more of those squatty squats where your torso is staying perfectly upright. You're getting the knee to go further over the toe. So it's not one of those things where it's like you should always use a slant board all the time. This is a tool that we're using to give the ability to access these ranges of motion so that you can build strength in that position. Because one of the things we always have people saying is, like on Instagram in the comments, it's like, oh, just work on your mobility. And my response is always the same. It's, well, I'm going to let my clients use this slant board to build up their leg strength right now during this phase, and I'm going to work on mobility right after. Why would I not want to get them strong and just work on mobility only? It's like, it's not one or the other. I can do both. I can do a barbell back squat with a hinge pattern more in my main exercise. And then later on in the workout, I can do a goblet squat and focus more on that technique of getting perfectly upright torso with the slant board underneath, right? So it's about understanding that the slant board is a tool, and it's more about the user understanding how to use it for like their clients or how to use it yourself, and not just thinking, oh, this is bad, this is great, right? It's kind of understanding what its purpose is. And like we always talk about, the biggest purpose, if the heel is elevated, and there's even published studies now, which is really cool. Like, we know it's going to shift tension from the lower back into the legs more. It's going to keep your torso more upright. It's going to give you more knee bending. So those are all the things that you're going to get from it. Unfortunately, there's not as much research right now with toes elevated stuff when it comes to single leg hip thrust or barbell hip thrust, but that's going to come in the future and stuff. And I think we're going to start to see that it's going to activate the hamstrings and glutes more as well. So I'm excited for that.
So I got a lot to unpack there too. Cause, you know, first thing, just to reiterate, like, it actually, the right inclination of elevating the heels will actually end up improving your ankle mobility, especially if you've had a history of knee pain. What people don't realize too, with, you know, things like the spine in particular, but also the knees, like when you have an injury, you have neurological trauma. And a lot of what allows you to access the ranges of motion you had in the past or just fully rehabilitate is for your, over time, to get your brain comfortable with the joint moving in that position. And without some of these tools, it's very difficult to get there without having the type of pain that is making you want to completely not, you know, just like modify entirely and just, okay, these moves are beyond me now. I can't squat, run, or lunge anymore. I've got to like do nothing. So that's a big part of it. The other piece, I come from a football powerlifting background. I wish, dude, if I would have had these back in the day, because, you know, when you get pushed into a powerlifting style squat, what is it, right? It's basically a sumo stance, and it's completely non-functional to what you see in the football field. The football field, if you're applying leg strength, you have to get into your toes to get to alignment stance. This would have actually given me the proper training angle so that my knees would have been able to handle the stress of going up against 300-pound guys on my toes, versus having to adopt a style of squatting that completely shifted the work from the knee bending that was required to be, like, they say this in like people that recruit football players, they're looking for knee benders. Knee benders are they're the guys out there that can stay low and win in the trenches. And what they're not looking for is a hip bender, because a hip bender means their head is here. And now not only can you get hurt, but you're going to be on the ground the whole game. So there's that component of it as well. And just to mention the sumo piece, I've been playing with, because I did a podcast episode about this Netflix series called Sanctuary. Have you seen it?
No, we've actually canceled our Netflix. We just got Hulu, Apple, so many. Hulu and Apple, I think, are the main ones.
You know what you might end up doing? Here's a little secret, right? People are already doing this, but you cancel one and then you join a new one, watch all that you can, let the new content accumulate, then you switch. Anyway.
I like that.
I'm sure people are doing that to my streaming subscription site too with other trainers, but look, this is what it is. But it's about sumo wrestlers. And I was just studying, like, these are these huge, massive guys, and their squat mobility was just incredible. And they can get down that low, that wide, because it's really hard. Getting wide makes it so you don't have to squat down as much, right? So it's a hack. You're stronger because you're not getting as much range of motion. But I played with the portable slant boards, and I get them as wide as possible. And part of what happens when you go super wide on the floor is you have to eventually toe out to the point where, like, this is a non-athletic position. But I was able now to get really wide on these, keep my toes forward, and still get that massive adductor stretch. And people don't realize too, they think just, you know, it's hamstrings or hip flexors that cause back pain. Adductor tightness may be one of the biggest culprits for lower back pain. And people have very weak groins. So I was playing around with doing some really just sumo squat mobility, heels elevated. Again, the applications are just endless with this. And then even I'd go sumo squat, toes elevated. Because again, part of what people don't realize when it comes to injury reduction or just overall joint resilience and also muscle growth, it's all about the extreme joint angles, right? One of my favorite stretches I've been doing lately is I take a high box and I'll put one of these on top to elevate the top leg heel. And then I'll on the floor, the foot on the floor is toe elevated. So I've got this baby, the down leg ankle joint isn't full stretch. So now I'm building resilience in the Achilles. I'm stretching the calf. And I'm also really enhancing the stretch into the trail leg hip flexor. On the top leg, I've got full motion through my hip and my knee. And I'm also got a little gravitational load that is getting more dorsiflexion into the ankle. My joint is getting more comfortable with that. So, and I can tension up in that. Like I'll do some hovers where it's almost like you're doing a calf raise in the bottom leg, but almost like a step up hold at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I'll tension and hold up there. I'll do some pulsing reps. And again, what I'm doing there is I'm training. So it's joint training. And that's something that, though I'm getting plenty of muscular work, I'm fortifying in the riskiest portions of the exercise for the joints. And it's tough to do that without these unique angles. That stretch alone, like a minute or two per side, I mean, like it can unlock ankle pain, knee pain, hip pain, back pain. And it'll also align your gaits for walk, run, squat performance. Again, like, can you tell I'm a fan?
Yeah, you gave me the good idea though too, which I've been messing around with, is you can, if you have your foot on a box or your top leg on a box like that, you could, like, for pigeon essentially. Yes. You can set it up for pigeon. I've done it on the floor, like the 90-90 positions where you're doing like hip ER and IR. You can kind of position the bigger slam board in a way where it's going to help you get into position better by kind of elevating your knee and having your shin bone go down it. So it's a little bit easier to get in position. or the opposite, having your knee and shin going uphill. Because if the knee and shin goes uphill, that's going to target external rotation more. And if the knee goes downhill, then it's going to give you a little bit more space to get into that external rotated position. So really useful. I just posted that on my Instagram last Saturday.
Using the step up or the actual 90-90 shin box?
90-90 shin box on the ground. But you could definitely do it on the step up though too, to kind of mimic, like a lot of people you'll see on knees over toes followers and stuff like that, they do like the incline bench where they put the knee into the incline bench and then do like that stretch where they rotate to the right to kind of stretch the external rotators of the hip, right? So you could put the slam board on top of a bench or box to kind of mimic that same inclination.
And again, there's an example of a movement that, okay, so now I've got it pay $200+ for to buy something heavy, like an adjustable incline bench, mm-hmm. for something that I could accomplish in $40 to $50 with so many more applications to it, right? And this is in July or August programming at the Daily BJ. I shoot months in advance, but I actually you can use this to elevate either the back or the front leg in your shin box. So basically you can drive more flexion, not have to bend over as much at the spine, and just automatically mm-hmm. put your hips in a better position to enhance the stretch.
Yeah, bring the foot to exactly. the chest instead of bringing the chest to the knee.
And so the mobility applications, like again, people are these idiots online. Look, I've dealt with it for years. You know, it's like just squat, bro, right? No, there's no critical thinking in this space, and there's no gray area anymore. And really what we're trying to do with a tool like this and mobility training in general, mobility is what? It's range of motion plus control. It's also designed to give you more gray zones for your movements so that mm-hmm. you're not literally, there are people that are so stiff that if they move the wrong way, even a centimeter, they can blow out their back. They can tear ligaments in their knee. What this can do is bring that from a centimeter to possibly an inch, or ideally a couple inches, something like a toes elevated hinge, for example, right? Can't see it, but I'm going to put my toes on this guy and I'm going to bend over. And if I'm comfortable like this, hinging over and getting down here, and I can keep a tabletop position with my toes elevated, when I come to the floor, which is going to be most interactions in life, right? We're not elevating our toes, walking around or bending over and picking things up. But one of the biggest injuries that happens to people, especially over 40, they bend over to pick up a pencil or their kid drops something and they blow out their lumbar spine. And training in this, what does it do? It's enhancing the stretch through not only the ankle joint, the calf, but also the high hamstring, all right? And it's really teaching your body how to maintain that natural arc in your back and a hinge at an extreme joint angle so that you actually have an additional buffering zone, especially when we talk about picking up things that are heavy or doing more ballistic explosive stuff like swings. So what I'm trying to say to people listening is, if you want to find longevity, you can't avoid awkward positions. You have to safely find your way to get comfortable in the uncomfortable positions to build your gray zone, so you're not a hair trigger away from acute or catastrophic injuries. And again, this is what, and these are angles we're talking about, right? So these slant boards in your squat wedgies, they give us these ways, and not again for the way you can interact with the hand and the foot. So I wanted to talk, let's talk a bit about just the benefit of this larger unit. Obviously I have my own opinion, but I want to talk to the founder first. You had it out in the making for a while. Why did you decide to come with the 20 degree? And also, it's kind of obvious, but the plyometric applications, because, you know, sometimes it's fun to adjust and customize the stance for your hands and feet. Sometimes you don't want to do it. A shorter transition time, for example, between movements, right? It can be a pain in the ass to move these around too much all the time. So talk to me about the big unit.
The reason why we kind of came out with the new one was because, one, after talking to a lot of gyms, they didn't want a lot of pieces floating around the gym. So that was kind of the biggest reason, was let me just make one big slant board for people, for gym users and stuff, so they don't have to have as many units. Because if you have 10 of them, you can like have one here, stack the other one on top, and it's really compact. You can just put it in the corner and then have people walk in, grab their slam board and go to their station. Whereas when you have individual units, it just gets a little messy. You know, if you're a gym owner, people could potentially steal them and you wouldn't even recognize it. It's a lot harder to steal a big unit like this. And then we wanted to go up to 20 degrees to give people more of that option in that group fitness model to be able to go from, you know, maybe they need a little bit more space by going past that 15 degree mark and go up to 20, or they can still walk down the slant board a little bit because they are very long. So it gives the person the ability to really elevate their foot from like that zero all the way up to 20 degrees. That was the biggest reason, was for thinking like group fitness classes, training studios, less. The biggest thing was when talking to gym owners was the thing like with individual units, you know, kind of like the resistance bands, those mini bands that always go missing, like collars go missing. So when I would talk to them, we would say like, we want something a little bit bigger, like the slam boards and things like that. And then looking at the slam board market, you know, like the slam board guy or the ATG slam board, all these other slam boards, they were all in the range of, I mean, anywhere from $80 to $160. So I was thinking to myself, you know, we can definitely make one much more affordable. And that's when I saw there was a need for it in the market. And that's kind of why we finally pulled the trigger. I was like, you know what, this makes sense right now. There's a need for it. We can cut their price in half and still deliver a high quality product. And then after testing it with my clients, and my clients were telling me like, oh yeah, we like this a lot more actually, because like you said, you like, it is really nice to have the solos to like kind of set your stance apart. And if you want to do split squats, you can kind of set it up a lot easier, or you can stack them together even too, like the 215s, stack them together for a 30 degree slope for calf raises. For things like that, like that's the only time I think you really need 30 degrees is like for calf raise work. And so it was kind of seeing that feedback was like, all right, let's just do a trial run. Like, let's just build a small quantity and then test it, and then get it out there for idea as well. And then when we brought it to idea, it worked really well at the mega circuit. That was really cool to see it live in action. And then I was like, all right, this makes sense. Let's build some more units on it. So that was kind of like the thought process behind it was, and also too, the making it wide enough where you can still get like a hip distance, shoulder width stance on it and keep it affordable. My goal was really like, I don't want to go more than $50. So if I went to like 24 inches wide or like 25, like the price just starts to go up. And if you're using the slant boards correctly, you don't really need to go 25 inches wide. If you really want to get that wide, buy the solo ones or just buy another slant board because it's only going to run you like a total of $80, and then you can get two of them, you know? So, and oh, the one cool thing too is if you do have two of them, you can even turn it into a little bit of like a plyo box. You know, you can kind of stack them together to make that square, well, and you get a little step
super
up
super wide stance. You could stack them like this, and then you're talking about
So you get a little plyo box there.
How would I do it? I guess, well, I'm not probably not doing it right here.
I think that's it right there,
like that.
Yeah, like that. So now you're gonna get like 4.5 inch elevation. So if you don't want to go heel elevated, you can just do some step downs off of that. You can do a flat foot, front foot elevated reverse lunge, which is really cool. And that's what I use with the solos a lot too. I'll stack the solos together to make a little yoga block. And I'll do like my step downs, my front feet elevate reverse lunges. But with that one as well, that you can do a little bit more plyometric. You can do like a cross hop over, you know, on it because it's a little box. So there's a lot of versatility with them. And I feel it just adds to it as well too. It's like a nice, like, all right, well, 15 degrees with the solos. Let's go into like a bilateral stance on the slant board and really hammer those quadriceps.
Yeah, man. And you know, part of what, so just to talk about, obviously, honestly, you want to have both because, you know,
yeah,
they both have these rubber traction. I don't know if it's coming through on the screen. There it is right there, right? They both have this, but just because of the fact that, you know, just the physics side of things, it's a bigger base of support. So these rubber grips, this is much less likely to move, period, than this smaller surface, right? So there is less movement. So if we're talking about doing things with heavier weights, you know, indoor, you know, the minis are more likely to spin on you. The other side of it though is too, if I'm using one unit, I can't get the same, if I'm elevating on the push-up, I can't get as low as I could if one hand is on each of these guys and now my chest can go all the way down to the floor and extend the motion. So there are, and then the benefit.
They're great for push-ups.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right?
Great for push-ups.
But if you get two of these guys, and now I can put one hand in each, yeah, one foot on each. And again, I've been doing that. Or I can, again, like you said, stack them together or ultra wide, you know, sumo stand stuff. Or
the cool thing for those too is if you set it up, you can do, I was doing this at the expo actually, is having one in your left, one in your right, and doing like a in between speed skater, yes, like bounding back and forth between the two. That's a lot of fun. You can even kind of set up Ninja Warrior style where you have like one over here, one over there, and like you're bouncing to the other one.
So
you know, it's a lot of fun. You can do some agility
drills.
Let's
take that movement. Because again, what I was doing previously before I got the large unit is I was taking two of these guys, stacking them together and putting them against the wall. And I could just do a skater to one side and back. But now I've got the ability to actually put both of these out there. And because they're bigger, wider, less likely to move on me. And again, you talk about angles, right? This particular angle, if your foot can land like this, now we have just such a unique push-off angle that's going to dissipate. The skater jump is already pretty knee-friendly compared to, you know, more like split jumps or any sort of vertical jumping, mm-hmm, because of that lateral movement. And we know lateral movement is so important for preventing ACL tears and building your glutes and lateral hips. But this actually gets you a better quad workout too, because I'm getting more of that toe push. I can kind of sink down into it more. And now, instead of the angle being like, you know, because I find with skaters, I feel like it's more of just, you're kind of just going up and down. It's more of like, mm-hmm, an arc. You see most people doing skater jumps on the floor, but this way we're kind of going more like truly horizontal lateral. So again, less knee stress, more quad work. I actually think you can actually drop your hips down a bit more into it as well.
Oh yeah.
And by the way,
definitely
long time applications with like the classic, but expensive, like $200+ wooden slant boards you see in a physical therapy studio, right? But now you can bring this to your home for $50. You can get two, have unlimited applications, and it's still probably less than half the price of what the wooden grippy tape ones that honestly are tough to stay on and can move on you sometimes too, because they can change angles.
Well, yeah, and the wooden slant boards too, it's like, with the adjustable wooden slant board, it really is just being supported by that wooden piece there. And, you know, who knows how much force that can handle if you're jumping into it. You know, maybe that thing like just falls out of nowhere. And then, so I don't think it has as much force capability as something like ours, which is literally just like dense foam just stacked on top of it. It's just one big molded unit, you know?
Sure.
So I definitely think there's a difference there. And that kind of, it's a good segue into kind of our new product that is on pre-order right now and is coming out in, I think, late September probably, or early October. And it is actually,
He's going to show it, people.
The Big Daddy, still working on the name. Right now we got the squat wedgie stack here. That's what we're calling it. So basically, let me see if I get the right camera angle. There we go. So the top part comes off, and it's two big pieces of rubber on top of one another. So we got a 7-degree slope here in my left hand, and then a 13-degree slope here in my right hand. So you can kind of see how that looks. 20 inches wide, 14 inches long. And then when you stack them together, it equals that 20-degree slope. And this bad boy weighs 20 pounds. Total. So this is definitely our newest, really high grade product designed specifically for athletes, commercial gyms, for some home gyms as well. But it is going to be a higher price point just because of how built and constructed it is with two slant boards in one. But this one I'm really excited for when it comes to like those plyometrics and everything too, because now if you buy two of them, right, you could set up four different slant boards and not all of them have the same angle. So your brain has to adjust from, I'm jumping on this 13-degree angle and now I'm bouncing back to the 7-degree where now I have to kind of reposition my body again, kind of more real life stuff. And then I'm bouncing back maybe to a 7, maybe to a 13. So I'm really excited to see all the applications we can do with that product. Very similar to the current 20-degree slant board we have, but just a lot heavier, weighing 20 pounds. So you can't really move it around as much. And that, so that's why it is more designed for like those commercial gyms, high schools, colleges, group fitness studios. Hopefully, you know, Equinox will jump in on them too, you know, so really get rid of those wooden slam boards and get some new stackables.
I want to say a couple more things before I know you. This guy's busy. He's got to go to his next client shortly. Don't tune out. We got a special offer for the first 20 people only listening to this podcast that we'll close out with. But I've been playing with using the large unit. So basically, you're telling me you've got you've got one slam board that can be 7, 13, or 20 degrees. So actually, you've got a way to progress, regress.
Yeah, the 7 is the top.
You got,
and then the bottom, 13 degree, and then they stack together 20. To give you that full.
So point. Now you've got, you could say level 1, 2, 3, and again, it's not necessarily easier or harder, but it's you have the ability to customize the angle for the movement or the client, and if you're trying to get a client to go from a high elevation to closer to the floor, now we've got systemic progression. You've also got it for like big fuckers like me over 200 pounds that are going to put a lot of mass and force through it. Even more stable. So that's exciting. I cannot wait to try that out. And even with this, I was playing around with heel elevated split jumps, which involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done those. Oh, my God. Those are brutal.
So I'm going to share it, and someone's going to say this is dangerous or risky. The reality is it does require more precise foot placement, right? Otherwise, I can miss this. So it actually kind of slows me down a bit. And then again, like we talked about, you take a movement that is truly vertical, that does not apply to sport. And now it's actually pushing me forward. And I'm actually creating force and again, a more translatable angle. And by the way, the reason people love the landmine squat is the landmine squat essentially is creating this kind of more forward angle. Or some of these renegade equipments or pure motion equipment where you can actually kind of explode.
I mean, slam board's great for the landmine squat. It actually gets way more out of it because you're actually lifting on the same line of pull as that landmine.
Exactly. That was interesting too. It's definitely advanced because again, you can miss your foot and potentially sprain an ankle or something like that too. But you know, in athletics, you're playing on a football field. The football field is not even, you know. You know, there's holes. And again, what I'm trying to say is, it can really unlock some advanced plyometric. And again, a specific joint angle that actually is more about a forward projection versus up and down, which is in sport, we're not trying to ever express force up unless we're trying to dunk a basketball. Or spike it up.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think the most important thing for people to understand is that when you're using slam boards, it's not so much, especially when you're dealing with like those extreme angles, right? It's not so much about we're trying to build like the most strength and muscle possible in these end ranges, right? Like if you're doing toes elevated hip hinge, I wouldn't say try to set a PR when you're doing toes elevated hip hinges, right? It's more to get your body in that position, get it feeling good in that position first, getting those stretches in. And then if you want to lift like maximal weight, then yeah, like just get a flat foot and lift your maximal loading there. So it's about understanding like what is the tool for. And same thing when it comes to your, you know, if you're using like a 20 degree slam board for your barbell back squats, it's like, don't go maximal loading right away because your body's not ready for it. Because if you do, you're going to shoot your hips backwards anyway while you're on the slam board. And it's like, that's not the purpose of the slam board. Your joints have to gradually build up little by little by little. So I think it's really important to understand that it's like you're using these tools to give your joints, tendons, muscles new ranges of motion they haven't been used to. Start slow and build your way up instead of just thinking, all right, let me just throw this slam board underneath me, max load as much as possible, and then try to do the exact how I've done it before. It's like, no, everything's going to change. When your torso is more upright for squatting, it's going to, you might only need 100 pounds. And at the end of the day, it's like, you might be barbell back squatting 300, but once you do it with a slam board and your torso gets more upright, now you might only be able to do it with like 135 pounds because now you're physically putting like that full 135 pounds in your quadriceps, Whereas, like we talked about earlier, when you're doing that barbell back squat without the slam forward, you're putting a lot more of it into your lower back, maybe into your groin muscles because your stance is a lot wider and you're not really getting the quadriceps as well as you could. So I think about just understanding that nuance goes a really long way, and I don't want people to get injured when they use this by just trying to lift the same amount of weight as they would usually.
And again, you know, I look at it from the opposite side, being over 40 and having a lot of people over 40 as part of my program. Big part of my philosophy is how do we make lightweight feel heavy? And the benefit of a tool
like a good slogan. I like that. I might take that. Making lightweight feel heavy.
That's an Uncle Baby Biscuits original. but that's really what it's all about, man, because here's an example. The last time I did a back squat, I was still working at Men's Health, and it's one of the all-time most challenging workouts I've ever done, which it was 315, three plates each side. And I did five sets of 10 to a box. So I was getting parallel, but not resting on the box. It was a tap. And I only had 2 minutes between sets. And that workout was so hard, I never back squatted again. Because it took me like 5 to 7 days to recover. I didn't really feel much quad work, if I'm being honest. And it just so much compressive stress on the spine. And that's a workout I can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't take that. That workout does not travel. The warm-up I had to go through just to get into the actual workout was a workout in of itself. But when I do bodyweight squats with my heels elevated in this 20-degree slant board, and let's say I set the clock for 2 or 3 minutes and I go 5 seconds down, 5 second hold at the bottom, and even come up slow and really just feel my quads and glutes slowly push me up, I get a better training effect. I have little to no stress on my spine, and I'm putting my knee in a position where I'm building resilience, and this travels like a championship defense. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we're talking about. These are the strategies. You got to put your ego to the side. And once you learn more about your body, you want to do this for a long time. You know, it's like, why would I put 315 pounds on my spine and then I don't get the same quad workout? And I'm in a straight vertical environment, and it's not going to help me on the court or the field. So look, man, we could go hours on this. We'll bring you on again at some point. We can talk about the TIB bar, but let's share the special offer and where they can learn more about you in general too.
Yeah. So for the first 20 listeners, we are doing a 15% off special with the code, TheDailyBJ. So the first 20 people to purchase will get that 15% off on all products, excluding our pre-order product, just because it's already heavily marked down from its original price. And we have very limited quantity on our first run. So that's the only product that'll be excluded from it. But everything else will be 15% off. If you spend more than $100 on the website, you get free shipping as well. So it's definitely a good time to take advantage of that, because you could get free shipping and 15% off of that purchase price. You can find us at squatwedges.com and then at squatwedgies on Instagram and YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. We have a bunch of free follow along workout classes if you kind of want to learn specifically how to use the squat wedges, slant boards in a workout class. And then on our Instagram, we post daily, doing some nutrition stuff as well now. So it's a fun little community we got there. Come say hi.
You are a damn fool if you don't get this product. I'm telling you right now, like, I lose respect for people who hear what we just said and don't find a way to get these tools. Because again, I'm talking about the fact that this is going to make you feel better, get more out of your workouts, less pain, and the price is right. This is such an affordable product. You will immediately recoup your investment with having less pain in your workouts and get a better training effects. I'll drop all the things we just talked about in the show notes, the links where they can find Eric at the special offer. And look, I've been exposed to a lot of people in this space over the years. Eric is a truly bright, young, and I say up and coming because you are, whether you realize or not, I feel like I'm just getting started. So you're definitely just getting started. And I really recommend you follow this and get involved and support this product, because again, he's putting money back in to constantly innovate, and it's the best one out there. I really tried out all that was out there, and this is the only one that I feel comfortable recommending. So thanks for listening. A 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. We just gave you an hour of your time. Take your index finger and just press the 5-star. And if you want to take a little extra time, maybe a minute, and say, BJ Podcast, good. That's all you got to say. I'll take a caveman review You can ask me a question for me to answer on a future show and or make a podcast request. And no guarantees, but I will absolutely read them and consider. So just give you a little incentive there for the review. It helps us get out there to more people like you to spread the word. So get your squat wedgies today. Don't be a damn fool. Uncle Baby Biscuits has never led you wrong. I only use the best, and I expect you to do the same. Thanks for listening, guys. Peace.
Thanks for having me, BJ. I got to run right now to my client. Is there anything else?